Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so normally, and certainly recently during the Commanders run, we have been locked in on the NFL. But I just found this to be fascinating when I was reading all about it last night. And I actually think it will be a really good conversation to get perspectives on both sides from here on the phones. Now, how this became public, I don't really know. I think what happened was the wife of Bradley Beal, who we know a little bit just tangentially from being around here in D.C. She was very active on social media. Her name is Kamaya Adams, now Kamaya Adams Beal. But I believe she took to social media to complain about an interaction she had had with a fan, and then that led to Bradley Beal having to talk about the interaction publicly with the media in the locker room. But I think that maybe it was noticeable, and I don't know this. Darris, I'll tag you in if you have more info. I think what happened was, like, he was in a huddle with the team and saw that his wife was getting into it with someone and that there was, like, a back and forth between a fan and his wife and maybe some...
Security was involved.
Security, yeah. Or staffer had stepped in. Mm-hmm. And Beal, I'm married, I have children, his kid is there, his wife is there, obviously was like, screw this basketball game thing, let me go see what's going on with my better half. And so based on that, it became a bit of a thing. Then she took to social media to explain what happened. Then he was asked about it in the locker room. Details about right there, Darris?
Yes, that'd be all correct, including that his son was crying as well. So he saw, yeah, his son. Well, I actually don't know which
his
son
two kids. One of them's name is Deuce.
But yeah, the son was crying.
Or
so
Deuce
that was something
is Jason Tatum's kid.
I'm not sure. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, Deuce is Jason Tatum's
kid. Okay, I just remember his kids were around a lot. They're very cute. I love them. They were at all the Wizards games, sitting courtside.
Adorable kids.
Yes, very, very cute. And now I saw that the kid is 6 years old, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the kid is there crying. The mom is getting into it with a fan. Beal sees this and goes, oh, hell no. And he kind of walks over to deal with it, right? So before I read what his wife wrote on social media, he was asked about it after the game. So let's start there. This is Beal with reporters after he left the huddle to go tend to his wife, who's getting into it, it seems like, with a fan.
I mean, you got to ask her, because, I mean, I almost left the huddle with 30 seconds left in the fourth. In front of some guy just heckling and kind of being an ass. And my wife was pretty calm about it, but then, like, my son's right there. She's not going for none of that, so, I mean, it didn't matter if it was her, if it was my brothers, it was my mom, my dad, my best friend. Like, it didn't matter who it was. Somebody was going to respond. social media. I'm not even on social media, so I don't even know what she said. She probably said some I'm sure.
Wasn't too well.
But for the most part, man, I just, you know, we all, my family knows, like, they're my biggest support system. They know what to put out, what not to put out, you know, and to be respectful of the team and everything of that nature. So, I mean, you can pull her aside and ask her.
How much were you even paying attention to what was being said to you? Because, I mean, I guess.
I don't know what was being said. That's what I'm saying. Like, all I see is my wife and my son crying on the front row and my wife turning around yelling at somebody. And that's never good. You know, family comes before any of this basketball. So, I just want to make sure that she was good. And once the security was taken care of, I'm like, we're good. So.
All right. So, Beal, thoughtful. Given his, this is his perspective on what he saw from the huddle, basically. Mm-hmm. So when I saw that, and I saw that first, that was the first thing I saw was this on Twitter. And I'm like, oh man, what the heck did this fan do? And I'm going, this person must have gone up and attacked verbally his wife. Just, there's a kid and a wife there, and you know it's Bradley Beal's wife and Bradley Beal's kid, and he's having a bad season, and he makes all the money. And so you were just a jerk, and you went up and started screaming at them. And then I saw what his wife said happened. So I'm going to read that to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is from her social media. I usually ignore nonsense, as I like to leave the circus to the clowns. But let's clear this up. Being a fan is fine. Boo, you suck comes with sports. But disrespect is another thing. During the game, a Suns fan, in quotes, spent the entire night heckling my husband. It got so bad, I sent my kids away in the third quarter after multiple people asked if we were okay and asked if I wanted them to say something. The breaking point came in the fourth when my kids were back and the fan yelled, "Trade this bum-ass Beal for Jimmy Butler." So the guy yelled, "Trade him for Jimmy Butler," but called him a bum-ass, mm-hmm. right? My six-year-old, with tears in his eyes, asked why someone would say that about his dad. So at that point, security had to intervene, or I was going to. Athletes are human. They have families. Be a fan, but keep it respectful. Cause, if we keep it real, most talking crazy behind a keyboard or not in someone's face would be the first to ask for a picture outside. Hope this clears things up. Back to enjoying my day with my family. Heart emoji. Now, I agree with the end there. Almost all of these fans who are taunting and chanting during the game and cursing and yelling at guys, if they bumped into them at the CBS like a mile down the road on their way home, they're definitely asking for a picture.
Oh my gosh, that's Bradley Beal.
Yeah. That's Beal, whatever. So, I have a take on this that I think is going to surprise you a lot. Because I am team like decorum and all these things, right? I would tell you first that this fan is a jerk. Because it's just a way to conduct yourself that I don't believe in. Mm-hmm. The loud cursing in a public setting, the yelling and screaming at players and calling them bums or using any kind of profanity, especially, I don't know if he knew this was his wife or kid, but around them, that's not very cool. Period. Here's my take. This is so soft. I'm sorry that a fan who paid a bunch of money is yelling, by the way, not racially awful things, not terrible things about Brad Beal's character. They're basically saying he's bad at basketball and they want him traded. They're a jerk. That's what happens at a game. That's what people in the crowd who are drinking do. If you don't like it, don't sit there. Go to a suite. Go to an area where the families can sit. Every team provides an opportunity for people to go sit somewhere. You don't think that a guy that makes $50 million a year from the team, I'm not saying buying a suite, but I'm saying that he can't talk to someone with the team and go, "Hey, man, look, it's a rough year. People don't like me very much right now. I'm not playing very well. Can my wife and kids sit in a suite somewhere so they don't have to deal with this?" Every single time Kirk Cousins' family went to a game, they sat in the same suite because his kids and wife hated so much hearing after every incompletion interception that he's a loser and he's the worst ever and he sucks and he's overpaid. Every parent, every family member deals with this. At every game they ever go to. This is so common and so normal. I can't believe this became like a national story. And there are people coming out to suggest that this guy, the person in the stands, who is a jerk, was like way over the line. Like that's where the line is now. Not like LeBron's getting someone kicked out of a game because he's talking about, you know, death threats or whatever. Now you're yelling, this guy sucks, trade his ass for Jimmy Butler, and my kid's crying, so you don't get to do that? Take your kid home and watch in your living room. This is unbelievable to me.
So my first entryway into the story was with people talking about it. I missed kind of in real time what was going on, and you would have thought that this guy, whoever he is, the heckler, I don't care about him or you know, any aspect of it, was addressing these things to Beal's wife.
Exactly.
And the child. And
I'm trolling them.
And I'm going, oh my God, what a cuff him and stuff him. Let's let the process play out. And I hope it ends with a gavel slamming and some time away from people.
You go up to the wife and say, your husband's the worst. You look at the little six-year-old, cute little boy, and go, your dad's a bum. Trade him for Jimmy Butler.
So the way that the shouty shows, the people were talking about it, is like as if this, like, you know, drunken, boorish, horrible being is frothing at the mouth going, I've found the family and I'm going to yell at them. He actually is advising a pretty good move. Phoenix should consider that if Miami will. I bet you they won't because they don't want a guy that's missed 40% of the team's games and is having the worst season of his career. I'm sorry. Sucks that that happened. All avoidable. You already touched on it. Very easy to control that.
Yeah.
What is happening, have an acknowledgement of the reality. If you are on a 10-day contract and your family's just there to see you play and you can't afford the suite, I get it, man. It sucks. You're going to be out with the riffraff. There's a reason I don't take my kids to the bleachers when the Phillies are in town. I'm going to be next to a bunch of Philly guys, and we're going to hear terrible language. I don't do that. See what I'm saying? Like, I would love for it to be corrected. I'd love for no one to curse in public. But there's also an understanding that I'm not going to walk down the dark alley by myself at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'd love for these people that are about to mug me to not and have a light beam come down and nothing but righteousness in it, and they figure out, oh, maybe I shouldn't injure this person for his wallet.
Right.
But I'm also not going to take the turn.
Well, I would also just say, and I know that you're not saying it's analogous, but like this is not the fan version of mugging either. Like to me, whatever the line we want to draw is for what fans should be able to do and where the line of that's unacceptable. I've talked about this a couple times with the NBA. I am massively a believer in anytime someone throws something, when you dump popcorn on Russell Westbrook, when he's walking down the tunnel, whatever, boot them forever.
Forever.
Every person who's ever stepped one foot on any floor, court, field, I'm the first one. Everyone's like, oh, you're no fun. Beat that person to within an inch of their life. They knew not to be there and they did it. I have no empathy for them. They suck. When Bobby Wagner hit that dude who was running around on the field,
yeah,
I thought it was the greatest thing that had ever happened. I wish he would have taken off his helmet and Miles Garrett him in the nose, okay? Like, these people should not be on the field. I get it. The line should not be that I can't yell. I'm not going to do this because I'm not a loser. But you can't yell from your seat, bum ass B, trade him. Because someone's parent or lover or kid might hear it, move. I was at a high school football game, okay? My wife's brother coaches high school football. I was at a game, and one of the parents of the kids was like this big buff guy, right? Who's like just straight out of the gym, nothing but testosterone. He had something to say about every play and how terrible the coaches were and, you know, everything. Now, meanwhile, the coach, his niece and nephew, my kids, are sitting here next to me, right next to this guy. And they keep looking over and they're like, why is he talking about him that way? You know, why is he talking about, you know, my relative? And so when they went to go get, my wife was like seeing what's happening. And she just kind of walked them to go get food and drinks for a while. And while they were away, I said, hey, man, just so you know, I was like, this is his niece and nephew here. They got the signs, you know, that, with his name on it. I was like, you can do whatever you want to do, but I just wanted to let you know that. He's like, oh, sorry. And then as soon as they came back, he kept doing it. We moved.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have some big brouhaha when security was involved. I didn't take to social media, leave the huddle so we could talk about it. We got our fat asses up, and we walked to the other side of the bleachers. This guy sucks. We won't be near him. To me, his beautiful wife and cute kids could sit anywhere. Like, this is so wild to me that the controversy was this. I, like you said, when I first heard about it, I'm like, oh, another example of a maniacal fan not knowing where the line is. I don't think that's what this is at all.
This is the ultimate in entitlement, where somebody believes.
But don't you think we're trending that way?
Oh, dude, like, it's the NBA, yes.
In the NBA, especially with like this whole like, She used the word disrespect. Like, you're not allowed to disrespect the players. You should. You can't yell terrible things. Like, there are certainly things you shouldn't be allowed to say.
Of course.
But you, where does that line stop? Well, apparently at wanting a guy traded and yelling it because my kid's nearby and heard it.
Well, but that's my point. Is the entitlement part of this is a protective bubble needs to exist around me at all times where I can't hear the bad thing. I can't be subject to any negative at any point in time. And I'll hide behind this idea that it's disrespect or this was over the line. And again, I don't love that. I have a six-year-old. The idea that he would be upset because if someone, you know, overhears someone who hates my guts on the radio, like if you run into some kid at Little League and they're like, that's Danny Ruggier's kid. Well, he sucks.
I got new rules on Twitter, by the way. No one can say anything mean to me because my kid's on Twitter. No,
you know. So, but it's the idea that this bubble has to exist no matter where I am or what's happening, which is unrealistic and frankly unfair to everybody else. And I guess the point I'm making is I'm sorry that happened. I don't relish in the idea that a kid was upset that somebody was saying mean stuff about his dad. But you can control what you see and hear. To you know, if you're not really ready to have those kind of conversations just yet, right? That's a luxury box. That's staying at home. There's a million different things. I'm sorry that it happened.
Yeah.
But the idea that now the narrative is this dark-hearted fan is miserable. How dare he be upset that this underachieving would-be saver to put Phoenix over the top has missed 15 games as they're languishing in eighth place in the Western Conference, treading water, going nowhere. Like, I'm sorry that you're upset about that. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? But like, it's so absurd to me, the discussion around it.
$50 million a year. $50 million. A five-year, $250 million contract. His family should have a suite at every game. Mm-hmm. That would be the first way to handle this. I wouldn't want my family hearing people talking bad about me all the time. Maybe they like to sit right down on the floor or be close or whatever. If that's the case, I respect that. You're going to hear things. That's something we talk about every day on the way to the game. Hey, people are going to be yelling about daddy. You know that. I'm not saying it's easy for a six-year-old to hear it. But again, I don't really have a good solution for you other than not being around the fans with the alcohol. I wonder, too, like, what else is unacceptable? Now, is this guy a jackass for taunting his own player the entire game, if that's what he was doing? Yes, I would say so.
Yeah, cursing in public, honestly, that's not cool. I'm not endorsing that
children
by any stretch of imagination.
Screaming, absolutely. I think that's a loser behavior. You're not a grown-up, whatever. But at the same time, like if at the end of the game, Beal turns the ball over three times in the last 90 seconds, which he's done a couple times here, if he did that in Phoenix and this guy loses his mind and starts screaming about, oh, he's not worth the money, we got to get rid of him, just like in a short burst right at the end of the game and the kid hears it, is that a bridge too far too? Is he not allowed to do that? And some of the people I really respected have come out afterwards going, you know, this, the way fans are talking these days is like, oh my God. The same sport though where we're getting fans routinely kicked out who afterwards are going, all I did was heck, like, boo him, basically, you know? And it's like we're stopping the game and dragging refs over and pointing people out. It's just, I think we need to watch where that line is. Because to me, the line can't be here. The line can't be that a player wants a guy traded and yells about that, and my kid heard it and got sad, so now it's a big deal, and he's the bad guy.
Yeah, what should happen is security should say, hey, whatever your take is, that's fine. Don't curse. This is a public forum. There's a lot of people around. There's kids around. There's families. You're now making the whole thing about you. You can have a view that the player should be traded,
yeah,
which it should be, by the way. Phoenix should be desperate to do that. I actually would advise that. Give me a call. I'll try to help you. But cursing the way that you did, that's a bridge too far. Do it again. We'll have to escalate this. It'll be more serious.
Would you even say to him something like, hey, his wife and kid are right here. They don't love hearing this.
I don't know if the security even has to do that at that point. Like, I don't know if they know or not. You know what I mean? Like, I don't necessarily need the guy in section 410 to do it, the person sent by me. Like, all I want is to be able to take my kid to a game, not have someone screaming and cursing.
But you're not talking about Beal's wife. You're right. Saying a person.
In general, a person.
But I'm saying your point is there should be no issue with the fan based on his proximity to the wife and kid.
Right. I mean, to me, it's a cursing issue. If you're able to say, Trade this guy for Beal. I'm sick of it. Message delivered. There should be no harm. Like, that's fine. I'm sorry. Like, that needs to be protected at all costs. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not even talking about, like, just in this game or this team or, like, just the country. Like, we got to be able to keep that and hold it and hold on to that. I'm so sick of this. Trade him for Jimmy Butler. We got to be able to deal with that. If we can't stay inside and wait for the meteor, if we can't handle that, let's not do anything else. Let's put our heads in the sand and wait.
Yeah. And maybe we don't bring our six-year-olds and sit in the crowd. Again, I can't tell you how many spouses of players I've had a conversation about this kind of thing with. It's constant. Constant. When Kirk was back here with, you know, Atlanta and had just been benched or whatever, I asked him, I'm like, hey, I know the kids came. Like, where are they? And he's like, oh, they're up in the suite. You know, we're back in our old suite. We don't really do the crowd thing at this point. You know, they hear too many things they don't like about me or whatever. You know, it's that kind of every player deals with this everywhere, constantly. This is not the first time.